I have been accused, and I believe the accusation is correct, of doing most things in my life fast, quickly. I've been told that I eat too fast. I've been told by numerous people that I drive too fast. I've been told that I walk too fast. I don't exactly know why that is. I just generally think anything worth doing is worth doing fast. Get done. You can check it off your list, and then you can move on to something else. As I get older, I'm realizing that that is not always the best case. There's even times in true confessions, true sharing, I don't even have anywhere to be. Like, I don't even have, like, I'm early for an appointment, or I don't even have anywhere to be, and I'm driving fast. Like, the person in front of me just can't find their accelerator pedal, and I don't understand why. And I think to myself, I'm like, this is a problem, because I don't really have anywhere to be right now, but I'm still like, come on. The Lord is showing me these things. My wife is helping me with these things. At the end of this month, we will celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary. And she's not even here to hear your clap. She's downstairs with the kids. But I'll tell her you clap. One of the things I'm learning to love is just to slow down and walk and be with my wife. And just walk. You know, if husbands and wives just know that you go away sometimes, whether it be Cape May or whatever, you're just kind of walking. You don't really have a goal. You don't really have a place that you have to be, a time you have to be. You're just together. You're enjoying a nice little vacation-y stroll. And that's a good thing. But when we think about the Christian life, we think about our journey of faith. Which is it? Is our Christian life and our faith a leisurely stroll where you don't really have any place to be? Or is it more of the, I got to get somewhere, I got a goal, I got to do something? Can we be lulled to sleep thinking that our Christian growth and maturity of faith is just something that will magically happen as we just walk through life? Or should we be getting after it a little bit harder? And Paul's going to tell us today that our Christian faith is like a race, and one that we train for, one that we use all our resources available to us to run. And in so doing, we're going to learn three ways in which we run today. So let's jump in. If you're visiting with us, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We are finishing up chapter 9 today. Programming note, we're going to take a small break from 1 Corinthians after this. We're going to do an Easter focused on the resurrection passage. Next week, Matthew's account of the resurrection. And then after that, we're going to spend 3 weeks talking about missions. We have a missions series coming up, and then we'll jump back to 1 Corinthians. But today, we're in 1 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 24. Last week, the Apostle Paul gave a master class in evangelism, the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. We share Jesus humbly, contextually. We share it with our whole lives. And we share the gospel to share in its joy. And Scripture calls us to be ready to share the gospel at all times. The reality is, that's kind of a struggle sometimes, right? Anybody else just feel like, I need to be sharing the gospel a little more, and I feel like I'm not doing what I should be doing. Maybe we aren't in that mode to share the gospel sometimes. Maybe we aren't thinking missionally, because we're all missionaries is part of what we're going to talk about. Paul's going to push on this. Paul's going to push on it for the Corinthian church, and he's going to push on it for us this morning. And he's going to tell them that the Christian life isn't a leisurely stroll. You have to be in that mode of the Christian life being a race. And there's particular ways that he's going to tell them to run. Look at verse 24. He says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it." Christian life is compared to many things in Scripture, and Paul here says it's a race. It's compared to a walk in other places. It's compared to a sojourn where we're visiting. This isn't our final home. But Paul says, guys, it's a race. He starts with one of his favorite techniques to poke their conscience, and he says, "Hey, guys, don't you know?" Like, hello, how can you not know this? Don't you know? Do you not know that it's a race? You guys should be understanding this. Our faith is like a race, and there's a prize involved. So run in such a way to get the prize. He says you should be more focused than you are. You should be more intense than you are. And we have to keep this command in balance with the rest of Scripture. The Christian life is meant to be lived in community with each other, right? Don't think for a second that we are going to be elbowing each other or tripping each other so that when we're running the race that we're the ones that get the prize. I know you people. I know some of you can't play a board game without it getting nasty. I know that. There's competition. That's not what this verse is talking about, okay? We are running in such a way so that we all win the prize, right? We're not tripping each other. We're not pushing and shoving. It's not all about, hey, I'm going to out-Jesus somebody. I'm going to be holier than them. We want everybody to be running the race. We want everybody to be running with diligence, and we want everybody to be winning the prize that is for us. Even Greek philosophers like Seneca emphasize athletic imagery for the greater good, not just competition alone. But Paul, speaking in the first way in which we should run, I'll say this, run hard. We run hard. Just like in a real physical race, you want to reach the finish line. You want to pour it out. You want to give it everything you have. You want to get there. You want to pass that finish line. Paul says our faith journey is like that. Run hard. It's a race. Run hard. It's not a new concept for Paul. He's talked about this before. And maybe you're thinking about Philippians 3. I put it in your bulletins for us. Philippians 3, Paul says it again. In verse 12 and 13, he says, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I what? Press on to make it my own. The imagery of straining ahead, right? Pressing on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You see that imagery there of that race? And one way we run hard is we don't look backwards, right? We run forwards. You ever see an Olympic race? People are laser focused on what's in front of them. You don't see guys looking backwards at what's going on. They're going to lose precious, valuable seconds if they do that. How much more so for us as Christians? And we get hung up sometimes in our past and all the sins that are behind there. But yet, we've got a race that God has called us to run. But sometimes we look back, right? Sometimes we get hung up about what all happened back there. Church, you've been forgiven. Christ died on the cross and rose again. There's nothing back there anymore. We've got to look ahead, and part of running hard is running forward and not looking backward. Hand to the plow, one foot in front of the other, keep going. We look back at what God has done. We don't look back to trip ourselves up. We run hard, but running hard also means not looking back. Sometimes we think that life is hard, but maybe we don't describe maybe necessarily our spiritual journeys as something that we should do, that we should pour forth so much effort into. Maybe sometimes we look at life, well, yeah, life is hard. Of course, life is hard. But should I also be putting forth this much effort, maybe, in my Christian walk, my Christian race? Yes, we should be running hard. One of my favorite old dead guys, Tozer, famously wrote that we should be following hard after God. Think about that. Follow hard after God. Tozer knew it. And what does it look like to run hard? We resist the urge here to be overly pragmatic. Like, Pastor Mike, give me 5 ways to run hard. What does it look like? Maybe I'll get the next latest book that tells me 10 super ways to have a great Monday so I can run hard. Resist the urge to be overly pragmatic here, church. Because God works in very, very ordinary means. Think of it this way. If our number one command from God is to love him with everything we have, right? Love me with everything you have. Shouldn't our lives look like that? Shouldn't someone be able to look at our lives and say, yeah, he loves God with everything he has? God works through ordinary means. Break it down to some of those ordinary means. God works through his church. God works through his word. And God works through prayer. Just start there. Very ordinary means that have supported believers for generations. Would somebody look at your life and say that, yeah, he is serious about God's word. He's serious about God's church. And he's serious about prayer. Just 3 things to take our temperature to see how we're doing in running this race. Would your friends, would your coworkers, would your neighbors say, yeah, he follows hard after God. And he uses all the resources he can to run hard. Would my spouse, my friends, my kids, my coworkers, would they see me giving priority to those things? Or instead, would they see me giving priority to other things?
Because, church, we can run after other things really hard, right? We can run after achievement and success and status and money. We can look running after having the perfect family, whatever it is, fill in the blank. We can think those things bring satisfaction, but in the end, they do not. Chase something. Anybody ever chase something so hard and they got it and they're finally like, well, this isn't what I wanted? It's God's way of showing us that nothing on this earth can fulfill what God has designed in our souls only for Him. We follow hard. We run hard after God. But Paul also mentions a prize. And let's look at that in verse 25. He says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So this analogy that Paul's using, right, he's comparing the Christian life to a race. And that's one that the Corinthians are very, very familiar with. Because Corinth was home to the Isthmian Games. That's a really hard word to say. Isthmian Games, right? Because of the isthmus. Second only in awesomeness to the Olympics that were there. So Paul's audience knew exactly what he was talking about there. They got that. They knew those games where every other year they were alternating with the Olympics. They knew that the competition was fierce. They knew that the runners trained for 10 months out of the year in order to run this race. They knew that the town was flooded with tens of thousands of people when it was time for the games. And they knew that it was the big event, racing or boxing or whatever. They knew about all that. So Paul, this is a great example, as we talked last week, of contextualizing the gospel. Paul says, hey, this is like a race. And you guys know exactly what a race is because you host one every other year. And you see it. But they do so. They run the race to win a prize. And he says it's a perishable wreath. One that's fading, temporary. And what kind of wreath is that? And Paul says they do it, that they and the others, look at verse 25. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we an imperishable wreath. Right? He says, those guys run around the track. They kill themselves for 10 months before that, training, eating, measuring their food, doing all that stuff, fasted, cardio, whatever they're going to do, right? They're going to do that. And then they win a perishable wreath. But you guys do it for an imperishable wreath, a permanent wreath. Literally, the runners in these games would win a wreath of leaves. I think I have a picture of it. It's like, there's one on the right that's from the Olympics. It contains different leaves. The one on the left is from the Isthmian Games. Usually that is pine or something like that. You're looking at that like, that's it? That's what they run for? Like, I think I cleaned that off my car this morning. There better be a whole lot of mojo and social status and fame that goes with that thing, because I think I can buy that at a garage sale for a quarter. We don't understand that. But for them to win that wreath, you were it. You were famous. You were the winner. You were the victor. Everybody knew your name. There's a picture, too, of a grave. I don't know if you're going to be able to see it, but there's a whole, this is someone's grave. And on the grave is a whole bunch of different wreaths from different games that they've won. Somebody's grave. It's like, imagine like in our, like imagine having like pictures of your house there or your car there or your whatever. It doesn't really matter much now, does it? It's somebody's grave. That's how much they valued these things. It's like, that's the guy that won however many, 8 races. He was famous. Now he's dead, right? We should be thinking that's it. That's what they work for. But it was worth it. You were the winner. You were famous. And Paul says, and then it's all temporary. It all goes away. People forget you the next year. But he says, Christians, church, Corinth, Highlands, you run for an imperishable wreath. You run for a wreath that is permanent. Our heavenly reward when this earthly life is over, our eternity with Jesus. Those rewards far outweigh anything that this life could give us as prizes. In order to get this prize, I'll say this, run to win. It's the second thing. Run to win. Run hard and we run to win. And hear me clearly, I'm not talking about this from a human perspective, okay? Don't get nervous. I'm not going prosperity gospel on you here, okay? I'm not talking about setting yourself up for your own personal breakthrough or anything like that. Weird special anointing to empower your life for more earthly blessings. That's not what I'm talking about in Running to Win. I almost didn't even do that because I started getting itchy when I wrote the Running to Win. Really, that's so not me. But that's what Paul calls us to. He calls us to run in such a way so as to win the prize. And Paul says that even again in our parallel passage in Philippians 3:14, where we stopped short of last time. He says this, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He calls us in Scripture to run in such a way so as to win the prize. But what's the prize? Nothing here on earth. That's why prosperity gospel is a lie. That's why it's not on earth. It's not just the blessings that we get from that. It's the blessings that we get, what? Of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And ask yourself, where is my focus? Is it more in making this life as comfortable as possible? Am I gunning for material goals? Or how much do we think about our eternity and what awaits us there as our reward? Our prize, church, is Jesus. And don't even get confused. Sometimes we get confused. It's like heaven. Well, yeah, heaven's good, but heaven's good why? Because Jesus is there. That's why heaven's good. One of my favorite Piper quotes is this. He says, the critical question for our generation and for every generation is this. If you could have heaven with no sickness and all the friends you ever had on earth and all of the food you ever liked and all of the leisure activities you ever enjoyed and all of the natural beauties you saw, all the physical pleasures that you ever tasted and no human conflict or any other disasters, could you be satisfied with heaven if Christ weren't there? So church, the prize is Jesus himself, not even heaven, right? All those things are good and yes and amen, and we will be free from sin and we'll be free from conflict and we'll be united, but we'll be united with Christ. Jesus is our prize. We want to be united with Jesus. Our reward is Jesus, and standing between us and our heavenly reward is Monday, right? Is our life. Is this race that we have to win, and life is hard. And when you think about rewards, I don't mean to go dad on you for a second, but there are no rewards without hard work, right? And that's where Paul goes next. Look at verse 26. He says, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control. Lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul says he doesn't run aimlessly, right? Could you imagine that? A guy running around the track. He's like, no, I'll get my own way. I'll just, you know, cut through the side or go this or maybe take an extra lap, go the other way. Like, he has a goal. He has an aim. He knows exactly where he's doing. I've done a couple races. I've done a couple 5Ks. I've done a couple Spartan races. And sometimes if you're not with the pack, like, it's a hard thing to find exactly where you're supposed to go. Like, I don't want to get disqualified here. I want to cover the race the way that the course has laid it out. Likewise, we don't live our Christian lives aimlessly, right? We have a goal. We run with a purpose. He also draws a comparison to a boxer, another event in those games. Boxing was huge. He doesn't box as one beating the air. He wants to land punches, right? A boxer wants to knock somebody out. They want to figure out what the other fighter is going to do, and they want to have a counter strategy. Not just go up there and start swinging windmills at somebody and hope they hit. Right? He wants to land punches. He doesn't box the air. He's got a plan. So what does he do? He disciplines his body and keeps it under control. Why? Here's the meat of this. So that he's not disqualified. I discipline my body. I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Disqualified from the prize. Disqualified from the games. Disqualified. He's growing this. He says, guys, you've got to understand that there's disqualification here. There's things that could trip us up. There's rewards that could be lost for how we live our lives. And in order to do that, it requires hard work. Or not to do that, rather. It requires hard work. We discipline our bodies. We keep them under control. And that's the third way I'll say to run, is run clean. We run hard. We run to win. And we run clean. And he says in verse 25 that he exercises self-control. And in verse 27, he says he disciplines his body and keeps it under control. And this word for keeping it under control is literally in the Greek. He says, I make my body my slave. That's literally what he's talking about here. But yet, how much do we do the opposite, right? I'm slaves to my body. My body says pizza, so I get pizza. My body says that I should probably not get up yet, so I don't get up yet, right? My body says that I need sexual fulfillment, so I find sexual fulfillment outside of God's creation, or I go on the internet and look at pornography. How many times has said what we're called to is to make our bodies our slaves, but yet are we slaves to our bodies? Paul says we run clean, we run hard, we run to win, and we do so by keeping our bodies under control. Again, the imagery of an athlete. Can you imagine an Olympic athlete fueling himself with McDonald's and pizza? And he'd definitely barf before he got like halfway around the track. And he'd be beat by everybody, and he should be. Paul throws the gauntlet down and says, no, this is not the way we're supposed to live as Christians. We run clean, and that takes discipline. That takes self-control. Our bodies are not our slaves, or bodies are our slaves, but not just for our own sake. They're for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the glory of God. And one commentator had a stinging quote, and he said this, the strenuous self-denial of the athlete as he sought a fleeting reward is a rebuke to the half-hearted, flabby Christians. Think about that. This has got teeth to it, church. Paul says, look at the athletes. Look at all the training they go through. Look at how hard they work to win their stupid little leaf wreath, right? And you guys have the power of the Holy Spirit inside you. You are new creations because Christ rose from the dead. You are members of his church. You have everything you have. You have his word. You have the church. You have the Spirit. And you're flabby. And you're not winning this race. You're not taking this race seriously. You're not running hard. You're not running to win. You're not exercising self-control. And you're wondering why you're not thriving. You're wondering why you're not growing. You're wondering why your life isn't full of fruit and joy and all of those things. Paul says, because those athletes who are running for that crummy little wreath are putting you to shame. So you've got to think about this. I mean, this is, again, an analogy, right? And it goes pretty far. Paul goes pretty far with this. But there's, of course, as well, definite connections between our mind, right, our spirits, and our bodies. But you can't just say, okay, if I do everything I'm supposed to do, then I'm going to win the prize. Right? It's not just obedience-based, right? We can't just exercise ourselves into being holy because God is the work. God is the one who does the work inside us. But yet we have to work, but yet it's God's work, right? But neither can we just say, oh, well, God will make me holy sometime, somehow. Osmosis, I'll just sit here and somehow get more holy. Nobody ever fell into godliness. Nobody ever tripped into that. That's not my quote. That's someone else's. I can't think of it right now. Nobody ever fell into godliness. It does take work, but it is God who works in us. There's also something that Paul cautions them that can disqualify them. And Hebrews 12 makes that clear. Hebrews 12:1 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and watch this, the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand and throne of God. Paul makes it clear, the author of Hebrews makes it clear, sin trips us up. Sin, church, disqualifies us. Like an athlete taking illegal performance-enhancing drugs, right? Or fueling their bodies with the wrong fuel. Christians, are we trying to fuel ourselves with sin? Are we tripping ourselves up with sin? Sin originally disqualified us from God's presence in the first place. Right? That's why we, as sinful, weak creatures, cannot be with a holy, perfect God, because he's perfect and sinless, and we are not. We're full of sin. We're full of weakness. So get this. God's the one that qualified us to be in his presence to begin with, because of our faith in who? Jesus Christ. He's given us the qualification. He's given us what we need in Christ. We repent, we believe in Christ, we are qualified, we are justified, we're in the race. Why then would we go back to something that disqualified us to begin with? Why would we mess with that? This is also the great exchange that Luther wrote about, right? Our record is stained with sin, we are disqualified already. Everybody comes into the world disqualified because of sin. God is the one who, through Christ, gives us his righteousness, right? And then he takes our sin. He takes our sin. And therefore, we are qualified to share in the inheritance of the light. As Colossians tells us. Think of it this way. Faith in Christ qualifies you to run the race he has for you. And sin disqualifies that reward. I'll say that again. Faith in Christ qualifies you to run the race he has for you. And sin disqualifies you from that reward. And as new creations of Christ, rather, we need to make every effort in our actual lives to live like our spiritual identities in Christ. We need to make those things line up, right? And that's the hard part. That's Christian life, right? We are justified by faith alone in Christ. We are forgiven. That's who we are. We are holy. We are beloved. That's us. We are his children. And then we have Mondays, right? And we've got to have our Mondays line up with our spiritual reality, right? But every once in a while, what happens, right? We drift off. We get tangled in sin. Our feet get wrapped up in stuff, and we're not running the race like we should, right? And we drift off. And God says, no. Come back in line with who you are. Repent. Confess. Take the forgiveness that I've won for you and get back in line with who you are. You need to run this race clean. Yet how many of us are trying to run this race bogged down by sin? One day we'll stand before Jesus and we'll have regret to think about all that could have been, to have regret to see all our rewards that could have been if we just looked down and saw the sin that was entangling our feet, as Hebrews tells us. I ask you today to look down. What is wrapped around your spiritual feet? We have a race to run. There are things that could be tripping us up. Is it tied to being substances or tied to substances like alcohol or drugs? Is it a sinful relationship? Is it fear of man? Is it porn? Whatever it is, cut the ropes. Run free. Run the way God has commanded us to run in Scripture. Run for his glory. We can get lulled to sleep thinking the Christian life is a leisurely vacation stroll. When it's not. Paul says, guys, get after it. Run the race. Church, we have a finish line. It's eternity. In church, we have a reward, and it's Jesus. I think about that picture again with the wreaths on the grave. Imagine standing before God and just saying, look at all my stuff. That's now burned up, right? Doesn't matter at all. And instead, that's what was holding us back from running the race that he calls us to. It'd be wise to cultivate a mindset that our journey of faith is not a vacation walk, it's a race. Not against each other, but a race to win the prize, the eternal prize of infinite value, which is Jesus. We need to run hard, we need to run to win, we need to run clean. And Paul makes a strong connections here with our physical bodies. We need not be slaves to our bodies, but rather our bodies need to be slaves to us for the glory of the gospel. We harness everything in our lives for the power of the gospel, and that includes our bodies. And let's not overhype this, though, because I know we hear a race, yes, run the race. Everybody's like, woo, let's go run the race. It's a marathon, right? Not necessarily a sprint. You'll have times when you sprint, but it's a marathon, isn't it? This life is a long race. And we have times when we trip up. We have times when we slow down. We have times when we get tired. We have times when we need to be refreshed. Maybe we have even times where we fall flat on our faces in that race. And then what do? We get back up. Because God's qualified us through Jesus Christ to be running the race in the first place. And he, picture him reaching down to you and bringing you back up and saying, get back in there. I paid for those sins on the cross. Confess, repent, get the forgiveness that I want for you and get going. Get after it. Run hard. Run to win and run clean. Don't let sin trip you up. So not only do we see Jesus as our reward, we all have a desperate need for Jesus in the first place to qualify us to run the race, but also, church, to empower us, to sustain us. And I urge you to run hard, to run to win, to run clean, but run the marathon well so that when you do cross that finish line, and let's be straight up, nobody knows when we're crossing that finish line, right? God does. He knows when you were born. He knows when you're going to cross the finish line. We don't. So when we do cross that finish line, let's hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Now receive your reward. Let's pray that we can run the race with endurance. Let's pray that we bring God glory with whatever he has for us. You all have a custom race that you're running, right? Your job, your family, your kids, your neighbors, all that's each of our races. God's put you there for a reason. Let's pray that we run in such a way so as to win that prize today. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for the love of Jesus, which compels us, which encourages us, which sustains us. We thank you for the exchange where he took our sin and he qualified us to run the race. And now he's empowering us to do that, God. Would we not get lulled to sleep thinking that this is a walk? Or would we with energy and diligence and perseverance run it as a race? God, would we remember that you are the one that works in us for your glory? Father, would you strengthen our resolve to kill sin? To look down, even today, Spirit, do your work to have people look at their feet and see what's tripping them up. God, would you cut those ropes? Would you let them run clean? Would you let them run to win? Would you let them run hard for the glory of Jesus, that one day we will indeed stand before him and be rewarded? Pray that you will do this for your glory. Pray for the glory of your church and the glory in each one of our lives. We pray through Jesus our Lord. Amen.